Okay, so today we'll talk about how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's the topic of our discussion today. Now, some great teaching and preaching that has come out from Lifehouse in the last few weeks. I've really enjoyed the messages that have come out in the recent past, like the one on faith that James was talking about, Stand Your Ground from Sanmi. There was one on being God's instrument, there was one on High View of Jesus. And these messages have really impacted me in many different ways. So when as a community we receive such messages, we need to take hold of them. And we need to actually put them in practice. We need to take action. It's really important. So one of these days, I was actually thinking about these things, these messages, and I was asking God, is there an area of my life that I need to change? Are there things in my life that I need to prioritize and reprioritize? And to be honest, I was feeling the pressure because I was thinking that I was on this journey on my own. And I took a day off from office, from my work, and God. And a couple of things that actually God revealed to me is what I'm going to share today. Okay, and the verse that came to my mind when I was really thinking about all of this and getting anxious was John chapter 14, verse 16. And before I get into the message, I want to thank the media team. I was late today in sending the slides, and they did a fabulous job, Kirill. Hannah, thank you so much for making it happen. So, advocate who will never leave you. Now, who is this advocate? Now, who is an advocate, first of all? An advocate is someone who walks alongside. So, when we have an advocate who walks alongside us, so we are not alone in this journey on this planet. Now, an advocate is a subject matter expert. He knows his subject really well, so you're in good hands. An advocate is someone who can comfort, counsel, and encourage. Now, today, look at our advocate, the Holy Spirit. The Christians have a narrow view of the Holy Spirit. So first we will lay some foundation, and then we'll actually build something on top of it. Now, when we are laying the foundation, I'm already preaching from the foundation of Jesus Christ. Okay? I'm already preaching on the foundation of faith that was laid out by James last week. And then as we go through this message, we'll look at how to walk by the Spirit, how to be led by the Spirit. It's a choice, and we'll look at it. So I've divided my message into 5 points, and we'll go through them one by one. You guys are doing well? Okay, so I might ask some questions, so pay attention. Yeah, so the first point is, Holy Spirit, the powerful presence of God, lives in you. The Holy Spirit, God's powerful presence lives in you. Now, if you have accepted Jesus, if you have believed Jesus, the presence of God lives in you. Now, if you don't know Jesus today, and if you're here, you can come and talk to us. And we would love to share about Jesus with you and the abundant life that Jesus has for you. So let's go back to Scripture and see this point, that is, Holy Spirit, the powerful presence of God, lives in you. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:12 reads like this. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God. Now, the Bible was written in three different languages. Okay, the different parts of the Bible was written in different languages, and there were three languages in which Bible was written. A large portion of Old Testament was written in Hebrew language. The New Testament was written in the Greek language. So when you see this word spirit in New Testament, it is translated from a Greek word or Greek words, pneuma or pneuma. And when you go back to the Old Testament and look for this word spirit, the word spirit in the Old Testament is translated from a Hebrew word called ruach. Okay, my pronunciation might be off, but let's work with it. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now, the word spirit that you see here, it comes from a Hebrew word, ruach. Now, ruach as a word has ambiguity in its meaning. Now, when the word ruach is used in the Old Testament, it could refer to the wind blowing through the trees. It could refer to the breath from a person. It could refer to the Spirit of God. Okay, it has got multiple different meanings. Now, if you speak different languages, like I speak three different languages, you'll appreciate the difference. In one language, you might have a word that has got multiple meanings, and when you translate that word into another language, you might have to use multiple different words to translate the same word. Have you guys come across this? Because I see a lot of people speaking multiple languages in this place. Now, when the Spirit of God does things in the Old Testament, the word that is used in the Hebrew language is ruach. The word that is used in the Hebrew language is ruach. Now, when the translators were translating this word into English, they were not sure how to translate this word, whether to translate this word ruach as the Spirit of God, whether to translate this word as the breath of God, or whether to translate this word as the wind from God. So today, we'll take that complexity away from our discussion, and we'll go into the Old Testament, and we'll trace through the word ruach and see what the ruach of God has done in the Old Testament. You're with me? So the ruach of God, that is the wind, the breath, and the spirit of Yahweh. The ruach of God was hovering over the waters at the time of creation. The ruach of God dried up the waters at the time of Noah. The ruach of God parted Red Sea at the time of Moses. The ruach of God, it brought quail to the Israelites in Numbers 11. The ruach of God gave life to the dead bones in Ezekiel. The ruach of God rose Jesus from the dead. The ruach of God came on the disciples on the day of Pentecost, and the ruach of God lives inside you and me. Now, if you have accepted Jesus into your life, you are in union with God, and the powerful presence of God lives in you. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. And now you Gentiles. So all people other than Jews are Gentiles. So now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. So when we believed in Jesus Christ, we were identified as God's own people. And we were given the Holy Spirit, which was promised long ago. So the point number two is, giving of the Holy Spirit, or the coming of the Holy Spirit, was the fulfillment of God's promise. So now let's go back to Old Testament again. In the Old Testament, the people of Old Testament Israel were called as the people of God. And they lived in the presence of God. When we use this word presence, now if I'm in the presence of another person, it means I am face to face with God. Right? I'm in face to face with that person. So these people of Old Testament Israel, they lived with God. They lived in the presence of God. Now, these people had to live in faith. They had to trust God, and they had to follow the law that was given to them. But they had the same kind of distractions that we have today. They started copying the patterns of the world around them. They started to worship other gods. They started adopting their practices. Because of that, they brought judgment on themselves. There were two powerful empires of that time, and those two powerful empires came and defeated them, destroyed them. These people were exiled from the land that God had promised them. The presence of God left them, and the temple that was the center of their life was destroyed. You're with me? Okay, so now they went through a terrible loss. All that they had was lost. They were in a devastated state. At that point in time, God speaks to them. He speaks to them through prophets. So in the Old Testament, a lot of these prophetic books that you have, they document the things that God spoke to them. God spoke to them a message of hope. And he spoke to them through one prophet called Ezekiel, who was there 500 to 600 years before Christ. And this is what God spoke through Ezekiel in chapter 36. And before we read the verse, so what God is telling Ezekiel and through Ezekiel is that God is going to bring about a new Israel under a new king. And that new king would be a messianic king, a new type of king. And this new Israel will be made of people who are transformed. So let's look at what type of people is this new Israel made up of. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Now, maybe I might have skipped this. In this scripture, the word spirit, can you guess what is the Hebrew word for spirit here? Ruach. The same word, ruach, is used in this scripture. So what God is telling these people is that in future there is going to be a new king, and this king will have his own kingdom, and this kingdom will be made of people with a new heart and a new spirit. A new heart and a new spirit. And this is the Spirit of God that will live in them. Now, who is this new king? Who is this new king? Jesus. And who are these people in this new kingdom? All those who believe in Jesus Christ. So we just read that verse. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we are marked as his own and given the Spirit of God. So this new group of people is people who have believed in Jesus. And because they've believed in Jesus, they've been marked as God's own, and they've received or they've been given the Spirit of God. That's the reason why we are called as a chosen people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, and a God's special possession. That's the reason why we are called God's special possession. You're with me. So we're building a foundation here. The Holy Spirit, the powerful presence of God, lives in you. The coming or the giving of the Holy Spirit was a promise of God fulfilled. Okay, so now let's go to the third point. Life led by the Holy Spirit produces fruit. Life led by the Holy Spirit produces fruit. Now, let me start with an illustration. Now, I generally don't share a lot about myself, but today I think this illustration from my life is really relevant. Before I got married to Jessie, my beautiful wife, I was a single man with a crazy life. So I if you know me, I don't know how to cook. So I lived on takeouts and ate a lot of junk food. And I know a lot of single people can relate to that. And I spent a lot of time with my friends, and I used to be with them till late in the evening. And I had no television, and I had no other distractions, so that was the best thing to do for me at that time. And then Jesse and I, we got married. Jesse had to move from a different city to the city where I was living. And Jesse had a different lifestyle. She loved to cook food. She loved to cook food at home, and then she loved to sit together and have a meal. And that was her lifestyle. And she loved to do that. And so now, there is this new person, my wife Jessie, in my life, and she has influence over different parts of my life. And because she has influence in different parts of my life begins to change. So now I start eating breakfast at home. I pack my lunch to work. I come back home early for dinner, and I told my friends that I won't be able to meet with them late in the evening. The influence of a person in my life brought change. There was a change in my life. Now let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 23. And we won't read through this scripture what I've done is I've drawn a picture so that we can summarize this passage without reading through it. So when we received Jesus into our life, when we became, we accepted Jesus into our life, there was a new person in our life. That new person is the Spirit, right? But we still have our old physical bodies. Because of our physical bodies, there are desires and urges that come out of our physical bodies. Like, for example, urge to eat, drink, sexual fulfillment, and so on. And so the desires and the urges of our physical body, the Bible calls it as the flesh. So you already have flesh, and then you have the Spirit, the new person in your life. Now, in verse 17, Paul says that the desires of the Spirit and the desires of the flesh are in direct opposition to each other. So that's why you see these two arrows. So the desires of the flesh and the desires of the Spirit are in direct opposition to each other. Now, when our life is led by the flesh, the results are not good. The results are not good. So when our life is led by the flesh, then the results are sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, and it goes on. So you can see the fruits, the results on the left, they're not good. Whereas when we are led by the Spirit, it produces fruit. That is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So when a life led by the Spirit produces fruit, a good fruit. Okay, so now I need to just bring one clarification here. The desires of the flesh, the urges of the flesh, they're not bad by themselves. The urge to eat, drink, sexual fulfillment, and so on, they're not bad. As long as they're done within the limits and the boundaries set by God. That's the reason why one of the fruit is self-control. When it is outside, when these desires of the flesh are outside the boundaries and limits set by God, they become sinful. They become sinful. And that's what we're talking about here in this graphic. So we looked at three things. Holy Spirit, the powerful presence of God, lives in you. Number one, the giving of the Holy Spirit was a God's promise fulfilled. Number three, life led by the Spirit produces change. Now the fourth and the most important point. Being led by the Spirit of God is a choice followed by action. Being led by the Spirit of God is a choice followed by action. Now let's get back to our illustration and take it a little further. Whose decision was it to allow my wife to have influence over my life? Whose decision was it to allow my wife to have influence over different areas of my life? It was my decision. It was my decision to allow my wife to have influence over different areas of my life. Now, because of that influence, I had to make some choices. I made a choice to eat food at home. And sometimes Jesse brings correction into my life. I mean, there are situations when she brings correction into my life. But these choices had to be followed by action. So before marriage, I had no concept of doing grocery. Now, because we were making food at home, we had to create a grocery list, go for a grocery shopping every week. In India, you don't get homes with refrigerators, so we had to buy a refrigerator. We had to buy a dining table. We had to buy cutlery. The choices that I made was followed by action. You with me? That makes sense? Okay. So let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, and we'll look at it in two different translations. And I'm not sure if you guys are okay with that. Okay, it's there already. Okay, cool. Thank you. So let's read it from two different translations. One is New Living Translation. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Who should follow? We should follow. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Now, let's read it from the Message translation. Message is a paraphrased Bible, okay? So it translates idea to idea. It doesn't translate phrase to phrase or word to word. So verse 25. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implication in every detail of our lives. Now let's start from the beginning. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit. Now why did we choose a life of the Spirit? Because of faith. Because we trust Jesus Christ. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ, that we have chosen a life of the Spirit. Now let us make sure that we don't hold this as an idea in our head. It's not an idea or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our life. Every detail of our lives. Now, Now let's go back and look at who is that new person in our life when we accept Jesus Christ? The Holy Spirit, the powerful presence of God. Now who has to choose and who has to choose and submit to the Holy Spirit? It's you and me. It's you and me. No one will push you. No one will influence you in a wrong way because you have a free will. The free will is something that God has given each one of us. You will not be pushed or you'll not be influenced. Okay, the choice is yours. The choice to submit and change is yours. Okay, let's take, now the choice that you make is based on faith. It's a faith in action. Faith in action. I'm not getting into faith today because it takes more explanation. But let us take a couple of three practical examples and look at being led by the Spirit as a choice followed by action. The first is, let's look at a couple of sins that we have, right? One is pornography. Now, globally, in the church, a lot of people are addicted to pornography. Now, is it bad? Yes, it is bad. The person who is addicted with pornography and is a Christian already knows that it is bad. It is bad for his life. It is bad for his family. It will prevent that person from walking into the things that God has for him. That person already knows. Now, in faith, as a next step, that person has to make a choice. And what is that choice? Choice to get rid of this problem. Get rid of this problem. Now, he cannot stop there. He or she cannot stop there. That person has to take it further and put that choice into action. If the phone is causing that person to sin with pornography, then better change the phone. Go to get a flip phone, or change your smartphone into a dumb phone. You have so many videos on the internet. Have a person in your life to whom you can be accountable to. Have a trusted friend or a leader in Lifehouse or a leader in life group as a trusted friend. If you still need help, you can come to Freedom in Christ and we can teach you how to bust these strongholds in your life. Now, if you are struggling with anger or you're struggling with addictions of different kinds, you already know that it is wrong because the Spirit of God is already telling you, hey, this is wrong. This is wrong. This area you need to change. Now you need to make a choice to change and take action so that that change can become a reality. How about finances? How about finances? It's the hardest area to change. The problem is not people not giving. The problem is that we are not trusting God for our finances. That's the core issue. That's the core issue. When we trust God with the finances and make a choice to submit that area to God, then you can see God can work wonders in your life. God can work wonders in your life. The success that you see outside is not the success, or not the success that you see in the kingdom. It's different. It's different. Now, one thing, since we talked about finances, walking into the fullness that God has for you will not become a reality if your finances are not submitted to God. It will not be a reality when your finances are not submitted to God. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Now I'll give you a homework. This section, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. In your Bible, it would be called as the Living by the Spirit. The section would be called as the Living by the Spirit. Okay, so study these five verses. But we'll look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now here, Paul is not saying that we somehow need to get filled because we're getting empty of the Holy Spirit. The point here is not that we're getting empty of the Holy Spirit, that's why we need to get ourselves filled. The Holy Spirit lives in you, lives in me. The point here is that we need to open up our lives so that the Holy Spirit can fill all the areas of our life. That God, Holy, that we need to submit, we need to give ourselves in every area of our life to the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul means here, that being filled by the Holy Spirit. Now, the last point. God loves you just the way you are. His love and acceptance is unconditional. His love and acceptance is unconditional. Now, sometimes in our walk, when we walk in faith, or sometimes in our walk of faith, we might make mistakes. Our choices may have been different. We have done some bad choices in our life. Now, a lot of Christians today, they live with the belief that God is angry at them, that God is disappointed with them, that God doesn't love them anymore, that God is punishing them, or God is mildly disgusted with them. Because of a failure, we live with a belief which is a lie. God is not angry at you. God is not disgusted with you. God's love is just the same. He's patient with you. He's not given up on you. Now, in 1 John chapter 4, John the author says that God is love. God is love. God loves the way you are. Okay, his love and acceptance are unconditional. His love is not dependent on our performance. You with me? With me? Okay. So this beautiful quote from Neil T. Anderson from the book Victory or Darkness. Now it says, God's love for you is the great eternal constant in the midst of all the inconsistencies of your daily walk. God's love for you is the great eternal constant in the midst of all the inconsistencies of your daily walk. Now the point is, if you have failed in the past, in your walk of faith, you try again. You try again. God's love is the same for you. He is for you. And it will never change. You need to keep trying. You need to keep trying. Now, this Sunday is special. What are we celebrating as a church, globally as a church? What are we celebrating today? Palm Sunday. On Palm Sunday, Jesus entered Jerusalem as a king of peace. He sat on a donkey and he entered Jerusalem as a king of peace. It was a fulfillment of a prophecy in the book of Zechariah. Now, before Jesus went to Jerusalem, he passed through Jericho. He passed through Jericho in Luke chapter 19. And in Jericho, there was a man called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was so excited about Jesus that he climbed a tall sycamore fig tree to get a glimpse of Jesus. Now, what did Jesus do? Jesus went straight to Zacchaeus and looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I need to stay with you. I must stay with you today. What did Zacchaeus do? Did Zacchaeus think about it? Or he said, no, let me pray about it, God. I'll then come back and respond to you. No. Zacchaeus hurriedly came down, joyfully received Jesus. He went with Jesus with great joy and excitement. He stood before Jesus and he made a choice. He made a choice to give half of his possession and to correct the wrong he has done. There was action. The presence of God was there, and Zacchaeus responded to the presence of God. He hurriedly came down. He joyfully received Jesus. He went with him, and he stood before Jesus and made some decisions, some choices in his life. Now, I have been in Lifehouse for a very long time, and I've seen the excitement that we have for Jesus, that we are like Zacchaeus. We are like so excited about Jesus that we are ready to climb a tree, ready to climb a tree to get a glimpse of Jesus. Now, in this season, Jesus is giving us, he's making an invitation to us. He's giving us an invitation. And that invitation is to walk with him, is to walk with him. The journey with Jesus is not easy, but that journey is fruitful. That when we walk with Jesus, we walk into the plans and purpose that God has for us. God has for us. So we need to make that decision. Are we willing to walk with Jesus? Or are we like that crowd that was around Zacchaeus? What did the crowd do? They grumbled. They grumbled. So today, we have that invitation. So why don't we stand up? And I learned it while I was doing the Freedom in Christ, and it's called as a 30-second rule, rule of 30 seconds. Let's spend 30 seconds with the Holy Spirit, with no distraction. Let's ask him, what are those areas of our life that we need to submit to him? Are there addictions? Are there anger issues? Is finances an area that you need to submit? Relationships? Career? Now, if there are areas that have come to your mind, if you're led by the Spirit, make a choice. Lord, I'll change this area of my life. I'll get rid of this addiction. I'll make changes in this particular area of my life. Being led by the Spirit is a choice followed by action. If you made a choice today, then when you go home this week, put together an action. The God who dried up the waters, the God who parted the Red Sea, the God who gave quail to the Israelites in the desert, the God who gave life to the bones, the dry bones in Ezekiel, the God who raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit of God is with you. He lives in you. He will guide you and lead you as you open up your life, make a choice and follow that up with action. Don't leave this moment. Don't leave this moment without making a decision. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. And Lord, thank you for who you are. You are an advocate, always with us. You'll never leave us. We are not alone. And as we go back this week, oh Lord, and spend time with you on the decisions that we have made today, Lord, we trust you that you will give us actions, will give us plans, Lord Heavenly Father, because for this community you have great plans and purposes. Lord, we thank you once again for what you're doing.